Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 64, The Deliverance of King Riga, Text Number 34. Hinastivisham Ataram
Hinastivisham Ataram
Vahnir Ashti Vasamyati
Vahnir Ashti Vasamyati
Ulam Samulam Dahati
Ulam Samulam Dahati
Brahmasvarani Pavakaha
Brahmasvarani Pavakaha
Hinasti visham ataram
Hinasti visham ataram
Vahnir adbhi prashamdyati
Vahnir adbhi prashamdyati
Kulam shamulam dahati
Kulam shamulam dahati
Brahmasvarani pavakaha
Brahmasvarani pavakaha
Visham,
Visham,
poison.
Poison.
Ataram,
Ataram,
the one who ingests.
Vahni,
Vahni,
fire.
Adhi,
Adhi,
with water.
Prashamyati,
is extinguished.
Kulam,
one's family.
Samulam,
to the root.
Dahati,
burns.
Brahmasva,
a Brahmana's property.
Harani,
whose kindling wood.
Pavakaha,
the fire.
Poison
kills only the person who ingests it, and an ordinary fire may be extinguished with water, but the fire generated from the kindling wood of a Brahmana's property burns the thief's entire family down to the root. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti compares the fire ignited by stealing a Brahmana's property to the fire that blazes within the cavity of an old tree. Such a fire cannot be put out even with the water of numerous rainfalls. Rather, it burns the whole tree from within, all the way down to the roots in the ground. Similarly, the fire ignited by stealing a Brahmana's property is the most deadly and should be avoided at all costs. We might just finish this off because there's mostly storyline through to the end of the chapter. Brahmasvam duran Nugyatam buktam hanti tripurusham prasayatu balad buktam dasapurvandasaparam. If a person enjoys a Brahmana's property without receiving due permission, that property destroys three generations of his family. But if he takes it by force or gets the government or other outsiders to help him usurp it, then 10 generations of his ancestors and 10 generations of his descendants are all destroyed. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Tri Purusha refers to oneself, one's sons and one's grandsons. Rajano Raja Lakshmyandha Natmapartam Vichakshate Nirayam Ye Bhimanyante Brahmasvam Sadubali Shaha. Members of the Royal Order, blinded by royal opulence, fail to foresee their own downfall. Childishly hankering to enjoy a Brahmana's property, they are actually hankering to go to hell. Grinanti avatapum pamsun krandatam ashrubindavaha vipranam ritavrittinam vadanyanam katumbinam Rajano Rajakulyascha Tavato Dhaniran Kushaha Kumhi pakeshu pachyante brahma doya paharinah. For as many years as there are particles of dust touched by the tears of generous brahmanas who have dependent families and whose property is stolen, uncontrolled kings who usurp a brahmana's property are cooked, along with their royal families, in the hell known as Kumbhipaka. For as many years as there are particles of dust touched by the tears. Svadattam paradattam ba brahma brittim harechchayaha shashti varsha sahasrani svishtayam jayate krimihi. Whether it be his own gift or someone else's, a person who steals a brahmana's property will take birth as a worm in feces for 60,000 years. Name brahma dhanam bhuyad yad gridval payusho naraha parajitas chutarajyad bhavantyud vijino hayaha. I do not desire brahmana's wealth. Those who lust after it become short-lived and are defeated. They lose their kingdoms and become snakes who trouble others. Vipram kritagasamapi naiva dhruyata namamakaha nantam bahu sapantam va namaskuru tanityasaha. My dear followers, never treat a learned brahmana harshly, even if he has sinned. Even if he attacks you physically or repeatedly curses you, always continue to offer him obeisances. Purport: Lord Krishna offers this instruction not only to his personal associates, but to all those who claim to be followers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yataham praname vipran anukalam samahitaha tatanamata yuyamcha yonyata me sadandabak. Just as I always carefully bow down to the brahmanas, so all of you should likewise bow down to them. I will punish anyone who acts otherwise.
Brahmanartohyapahito hartaram patayat yudaha ajanantam apihyenam nrigam brahmanagoriva.
When a brahmana's property is stolen, even unknowingly, it certainly causes the person who takes it to fall down, just as the brahmana's cow did to Nriga. Purport: The Lord here demonstrates that his instructions are not theoretical, but practical, as seen concretely in the case of Nriga Maharaj.
Evam visravya bhagavan mukundo dvarako kashaha pavanasaravalokanam vivesha nijamandiram.
Having thus instructed the residents of Dwarka, Lord Mukunda, purifier of all the worlds, entered his palace.
Mandir,
palace. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the tenth canto, 64th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled "The Deliverance of King Nriga."
Om Ajnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svabhanam Tikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam.
So there's a fairly simple message here, that one should not be envious of others. And especially one should not be envious of the brahmanas. When you think about it, the kshatriyas are the administrators, coordinators of society, and they have a respected position and a powerful position. But in one sense, the brahmanas have something which is much more desirable, because without the power, if you like, the strength, the virya, right, they have a more prominent position within society. And that strength is based on their knowledge. Rather than on physical strength, their strength or their position is supported by their knowledge. They are vidvan. They have carry, hold knowledge. And as a result, then they have a very respectable, ordinarily, they would have a very respectable position within society. Influential. Powerful and influential. You know, there's that saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. Right? Which indicates, you know, knowledge is more powerful than physical strength. Although physical strength can be used against the brahmanas, because that, in one sense, they lack that. But here, the warning is, don't be disrespectful to the brahmanas. Don't usurp their property. Don't try to take away their position, because the consequences are very grave. And so, you know, this is a warning. It's a warning to everybody, but it's especially in this particular context, it's a warning to the kshatriyas. Because Krishna is talking to his sons. So it's a warning to the kshatriyas to be respectful to the brahmanas on one level. Because, you know, but of course, as it's mentioned here at the end of the chapter, not only is it a message for Krishna's relatives or his children, his family members, but it's a message for all of the devotees, anybody who follows, anybody who's a follower of Krishna. So specifically, it's Krishna's giving an instruction to his sons who have requested him to pull the lizard out of the well. But as it's explained by the acharyas, this is Krishna instructing his family members, but also the greater family of followers of the Lord, the Achyuta Godra. Those who are followers of the Lord are considered to be in his family, although it is not a seminal line, if you like. You know, ultimately, we're connected by spiritual ties, not physical or bodily or so. And underlying all of this instruction is really the principle of not being envious. Because, you know, the kshatriyas might be envious of the brahmanas' power and position and their influence. And so therefore want to take that away from them, because it may undermine their position on occasion. Not always necessarily, but you can understand the dynamic. And very often, just, you know, this wanting to take what others have, take their position away from them, take their wealth, take their influence, take their power away from them, stems from this anatta of matsarya, being attracted to, or weakness of heart, actually. It's a weakness of heart. One should be knowledgeable enough to understand, or one should be learned enough to understand that whatever facility or whatever possessions a person have, they have them by the arrangement of the Lord. Isavasyam midam sarvam yat what is it? Isavasyam midam sarvam yat jagatam jagat yat. I've forgotten the slogan. And I can't hear you when five speak at once. Isavasyam idam sarvam. Idam sarvam. Everything within the creation belongs to the Isha, the Supreme Controller. Mat, what is it? Mat? Yat? Mat? Yat?
Kincha.
Kincha? Jagatyam? Jagat. That's what I thought it was. Matkincha, jagatyam, jagat. Everything within the creation. The jagat means the greater creation. So everything within the creation is owned and controlled ultimately by Krishna. But he allows everybody a quota. Right? He allows everyone to have a certain quota of that creation. So therefore the injunction in the Upanishad is that one shouldn't take away those things knowing well to whom they belong. First of all, understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to the Isha or the controller. And that he's directing the wanderings of everybody. Ishvaraha sabhabhutanam riddhesharjuna tishtati. Brahmayan sabhabhutanam yantra rudhani mayaya. Everybody is being controlled by the Lord, and the facilities that each one of us are given are sanctioned ultimately by the Ishvara, the Isha, the controller. That's Krishna. So we should know that ultimately everything belongs to God, and that He's sanctioning the rationing, if you like, or the quota that each one of us has. So we should recognize the proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we should also recognize the proprietorship of the different individuals over their possessions. That also needs to be recognized. Not that we, you know, the Hare Krishna philosophy is, well, you know, everything belongs to Krishna, so therefore I can take it. You know, in the early days of Krishna consciousness, when the devotees were very poor, then you know, the philosophy was, if it's not nailed down, then it belongs to Krishna. That has got us in trouble on occasion. Philosophically, it's correct. You know, there was the many a rough cart was built from in the very early days. The rough carts were built from you know, a lot of it was built based on this philosophy. The devotees were actually caught and it's funny because there's a conversation here in a room upstairs where Prabhupada's talking with Wally Strauss, who was our lawyer at the time, and having a bit of a chuckle. And Prabhupada was acknowledging this point, actually, yes, everything does belong to Krishna. The devotees went to the flower gardens in Dandenong and completely cleaned out this man's crop of carnations. And, you know, at the beginning of the Rath parade, the police came along with the flower grower and said, yes, they're my carnations. So they ordered the devotees to take them all off. And then Sikipucha Dara, he actually had to go to court to face charges. So, yes, we have to be careful, you know. We should recognise the proprietorship of Krishna, yes, but we also need to recognise the proprietorship of the individual. And, you know, in that situation, and then, you know, there's a funny sequel to that story. The devotees were later on going, travelling around, you know, for another Rath Yatra parade, and they happened to be driving around the flower gardens in Dandelion. They said, oh, look, there's a place that's growing carnation. Let's go and ask them if they'd like to give us some carnations. At least they were asking. That time they were asking. And actually, it's interesting, you know, with Sikipucha, when I first joined, now I think about it, when I first came to the temple, started coming, to, and it was Janmashtami, and I was driving around with Sikipucha, and we went out to Wakery, and he was going to the orange growers, to the orchards, driving up and asking if they would give us some fruit. And people say, yeah, no worries. And then we'd be up orange trees picking oranges and lemons and then throwing them. We filled up, you know, there's a combi. We filled up the well of a combi with oranges and lemons for a festival that we're having. And then we were going out into the hills, in the Adelaide Hills, and we were knocking on people's doors and basically begging for flowers. And I was surprised. I was thinking, oh, nobody's going to give us anything. This is ridiculous. I think, what are we doing this for? This is just crazy. Nobody's going to give us anything. But Sikhi, I don't know what Sikhi told them. But and people say, yeah, sure, come on. So then we'd be up the hills picking daffodils, and you know, because it's spring this time of the year. So yes, everything belongs to Krishna and we can just take it. But actually, to give, when you do that, you actually, if you get caught, then there's almost no benefit for everybody, because the reputation of the devotees goes down, and you know, people don't like you and become critical of the devotees. But if the devotees are asking for gifts in charity and the people give gifts, we understand, yes, it belongs to Krishna, and we're saying, please give it to us so that we can use it in Krishna's service, then there's a benefit all round, because they know, yes, I'm giving it. Well, ultimately, yes, we know it belongs to Krishna, but there's also that sense of proprietorship that each individual has. And when a person voluntarily gives it to the brahmanas or to the devotees, that's okay. That's recommended, in fact. Was it? The brahmanas live on charity. Tadati Pratigrinati Gui. No, that's not it. The six items of Brahminical culture. Beginning with charity. And what is it? Yajan Yajan Patan Patan Dadami Pratigraha. That's it. Yajan Yajan. Performing sacrifices. And that's mentioned here. If you steal from the brahmanas, then the reaction is like a fire. Right? This is the example that's given here. And of course, Yajan Yajan, the brahmanas' duty is to perform sacrifices. And they have these triangular blocks of wood called orani, which are used by chanting mantras and rubbing the blocks of wood together. They create the fire, the spark, that will light the jagya. So these are the these yajan yajan patan patan, studying the Vedas and teaching the Vedas. Tadati pratigrigaha is giving in charity and receiving charity. These are the six duties of a brahmana. And also actually they're part of the duties of a devotee also. So it's proper for us to actually engage people in this way rather than steal their goods, steal things from them. It is better all around if we behave according to our varna, if you like. Although, you know, for the devotees, there's no real varna. We're servants of Krishna, and so if it's required that we have to do some stealing, then we might have to do it. But in emergencies only. Otherwise, normally we would follow the normal etiquettes. Respect this understanding of proprietorship. Otherwise, here's the reaction that's described here. The fire that's created, and it's described, this is a fire that can't be put out, worse than poison. There's no antidote. Mentioned in the previous verse. There's no antidote to this kind of a poison. And there's no way of extinguishing this fire. Even you can pour water on it. So Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur was describing that this desire to steal from others, or the enviousness basically, wanting to take things from people, take their position, take their possessions. Especially wanting to take the position or the possession of a brahmana has severe consequences, severe reactions. And it's described here, you know, 60,000 lives as a worm in stool. That's what it said, wasn't it? 60,000 lives. That's not very appealing, is it? Or, you know, three generations of your family, if you touch, what's it here? Touch a brahmana's possessions without permission. Or if you, you know, by using politics or whatever, you steal their possessions, get others to do it, then 10 generations in the past, 10 generations in the future. So these are heavy warnings of how respectful we have to be to the brahmanas. And this also means then to the devotees, because the devotees automatically should be brahminical, right? Should be learned. And real knowledge and learning, as Prabhupada explains, real knowledge and learning means to understand, to be Krishna conscious, basically. To understand, you know, who is the Isha? Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. Who is the controller of everything? This is real knowledge. So the devotees should also exhibit this brahminical culture and this respect of each other and of others. Otherwise, this fire, it's worse than poison, basically. You know, Chanakya Pandit comments how a snake is dangerous. And in fact, here it mentions, you know, if you behave like this, then you become a snake. And just give trouble to others. That's basically the symptoms of a snake, is that they just give trouble to others. Unprovoked, they'll bite. You know, the devotees tell the story of Bhavananda used to tell this story of the family. You know, the families in Bengal, often they'll sleep on one bed all together. And, you know, the children will often be in the middle of the bed and the parents will sleep on the outside. And there was this villages, you know, family living in the village. And one of the children in the night had been bitten by a snake. But the child was right in the middle of the bed, so that meant the snake had to go through all of the others to bite that one particular child. For no, you know, why? What, for what reason? Other than just to cause trouble. Why not bite, you know, the nearest? But went for that particular one. So this is used as an example to illustrate the enviousness of a snake, just to cause trouble. So this is a poison, basically, this enviousness. And Chanakyapana says that, you know, the, a snake can be controlled by mantras and herbs, even the effect of a snake bite. But a person who's like a snake, envious, very difficult to control. If a person is envious of others, then that is a major anatta, which is very difficult to an envious person is very difficult to control, has to be watched. It's called weakness of heart. Wanting something that others have. But not only wanting it, but not wanting them to have it. Matsarya. It's a dangerous quality in a person, in an individual. An anartha. So in one sense, Krishna is also warning against this anartha of, you know, weakness of heart. Hridaya durabalyam. And alongside of enviousness comes this pratistha, desire for fame and position. You know, which is why it's important here for the kshatriyas. Because the brahmanas have position. They have knowledge, they have influence, they even have wealth. They don't have to work so hard, they're given it. Huh? And that's a desirable thing. If you haven't got it, then and somebody else has got a position, and they're famous, they're influential, or whatever, then it is not unusual for that enviousness to then come up and want to, you know, pull somebody down and take it away from them because you want it or we want it. So. This quality actually has to be uprooted. You know, being attached to things not related to Krishna, being deceitful or finding fault in others, kutinati. Chuchya shakti kutinati. This is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. By finding fault, you know, this is the beginning, you know, we find fault in others. Ah, they've got a fault. Therefore, let's take away their position. You know, this is the, it sort of builds. Actually, the devotee is not interested in these things. Position and influence, and it may come as a result of our service, but it is not what we want. It's not our ambition. Basically, the devotees understand. Vishvasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena chak tena bunjita magrida kasya sviddhanam. We shouldn't take things from others, knowing well to whom they belong. Ultimately, they belong to Krishna, And Krishna sanctions the positions of all the living entities. But when one is attached to things not related to Krishna, so the devotee's main focus is, let me do service. This is the attachment for the devotees. What happens is, though, unfortunately, if we're not careful, for the chanting of Hare Krishna, one may be given position, one may be given wealth, one may be given, and so therefore the result of performing devotional service is that one may be given material facility. And so therefore, in the Harinam Chintamani, it is mentioned that there are anattas that can arise from the practice of devotional service itself. Right? Interestingly enough. And that is that one becomes attached to position and wealth and all of, you know, these different things. They are not, they come about as a result of the performance of bhakti, but they're not actually bhakti. Or they're not prerequisites for bhakti. In fact, they can be obstacles on the path of devotional service. So therefore, it is recommended that one has to be very careful not to, become attached, not to cultivate these attachments. In the sense that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the story of the gardener watering the creeper, the devotional creeper, and how in the gardening process one needs to put a fence, very carefully put a fence around your garden. That's to keep out bad association. Asatsanga cha gi vaishnava cha. The qualification of a devotee is that they give up bad association. But we might give up bad association, which will stop, which will remove unwanted influences from outside, but then in the watering process, which is the hearing and chanting of Hare Krishna, in the watering process, still there may be unwanted influences. These unwanted influences are likened to weeds, which will grow alongside of the devotional creeper, right? And these weeds are, as mentioned here, desire for things not related to Krishna, just within our own heart. So we remove the bad association of others who have these desires, materialistic people, because by that association that may inflame our own situation. But then also we have to look at within ourselves, hard part, because we're also bad association sometimes. The only thing is that we're sadhakas and we're trying to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And so therefore, kutinati and pratishta and matsarya and tucha shakti, these attachments to material things have to be vigilantly avoided and picked out, observed and then removed. So that that basically we're engaged in pure devotional service. That's what's recommended for everybody, without these motivations. But what happens as a result of devotional service, you may get a position, you may get wealth, you may become famous. And it looks like it is part of devotional service, but then if you become attached to it, it can actually be detrimental devotional service. It has to be used in the proper way. And so therefore, in the chanting of Hare Krishna and in the association of the devotees, one has to be very careful to engage in the practices which will help keep these unwanted elements of character or of attachment, anattas, at bay. For enviousness, it is recommended that we serve the devotees. You know, if we're critical or whatever of a devotee, then we should serve that devotee. Or if we're envious of their position, then we should serve them. In, you know, appropriate ways. To overcome that, but it has, you know, as I mentioned here, you know, this enviousness or it creates reactions, serious reactions, as mentioned here, this is a fire that you can't extinguish. If you commit the offence, it's a fire that you can't extinguish. Of course, we're lucky because in one sense, we actually have the extinguishing. We know what the fire extinguisher is. We have the fire extinguisher, actually. That's the chanting of Hare Krishna. You know, I mentioned before, yajan yajan. You know, the fire is created, fire generated from the kindling wood, which is the arani, of a brahmana's property. So, you know, when a brahmana, practically speaking, doesn't have any property, actually. Because, you know, he knows, ultimately, everything belongs to the Lord, so it's not my property. It actually belongs to Krishna. But if the Brahmin has a property, then it's his, you know, the elements or the tools of his trade, which for him is the arani, which ignites the fire. But for us, you know, none of us have any arani wood. You know, at the beginning of Kali Yuga, when they wanted to have a 1,000-year sacrifice to stave off the influence of Kali Yuga, they chanted their mantras and rubbed the wood together, and what did they get? Smoke. Yeah. You know, it just created more confusion. Couldn't see what they were doing. So for us, the jagya, if you like, and which is the means for our making progress in devotional service, is chanting Hare Krishna. That's our jagya. That's our sacrifice. The sacrifice in Kali Yuga, Kaliya Dosha Nidhe Rajana, is an ocean of faults. So many problems. It's not difficult to find faults in people in Kali Yuga. But there's one good quality, and that's what we have to look for. And in fact, that's interesting because Haridas Thakur says you can identify who is a devotee by their attachment to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Because by wanting to chant Hare Krishna means that they'll also then eventually, in due course of time, want to serve Krishna as well. But this is how we identify the devotees, those who take the chanting of Hare Krishna seriously. But we have the antidote for this enviousness, if you like. And that's the chanting of Hare Krishna. But especially the chanting of Hare Krishna in a very humble and submissive mood. An introspective mood. We have to be quite introspective to see these qualities within ourselves. And of course it's not pleasant to see that. It is sometimes painful to observe and witness our own failings and attachments to these things not related to Krishna. Although they may come as a result of our devotional service, they are not actually devotional service. And devotional service isn't necessarily meant to produce material results. In fact, it's not. Devotional service is meant to increase our devotional service. You know, bhakti leads to bhakti, not to money and position and wealth and blah, 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 all these things. Well, that may come to a devotee. And if it does come to a devotee, then we should acknowledge, this is Krishna's mercy on that devotee. Or it's even Krishna's mercy on myself if I have it. But we shouldn't be attached to it. Pratishta, attached to position. And then if somebody else has got the position, Matsarya, how come he's got it? Why him, not me? And he's got so many faults. Or she's got so many faults. Well, join the club. We've all got faults. Kaler Doshan in Hey Rajan. We're all faulty. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness in one sense, because I guess, you know, we're, none of us are that unique. We're unique in one sense, because we're all individuals and we have our all individuality, our all of our personality. But in Kali Yuga, we're not so unique that we don't have faults. You know, we all have faults. And, you know, as Madhyam, if we're rising to the platform of Madhyam Adhikari, then the challenge is to, you know, help each other. Because we all know that we've got faults. But each one of us will have a strength. Each one of us will be good at something. This, you know, we'll have at least one good thing that we can... And this is really what devotees look for, the good things. You know, Bhurja Prabhu teaches in The Art of Teaching, you know, how... when he was teaching the course, he was saying how it's very difficult as a teacher sometimes to find good in your students. Because, you know, the little brats have got so many faults. He said, you've got to find something good. You know, like, and he gave the example, you're breathing very well today. You're doing a very good job of breathing. But just sit still. Or whatever. So, you know, the art of, in one sense, the art of a... And this is, I mentioned this before, you know, this is the quality of a devotee. It's Krishna's qualities. One of Krishna's qualities actually is not to see faults, not to see the fault. Niradosha, right? Not seeing faults in others. Because the interesting thing is for a devotee, we actually do see the faults. It's not like we're just blind, you know, oh no, he hasn't got any faults whatsoever. We see the faults also, but it's better to emphasize the good qualities of the devotees. And if they have some fault, then try to help cover for that. You know, because, you know, the example that I have given is of a football team. You know, in a football team, each player, certainly in Aussie rules anyway, each player has a certain talent. You know, even in soccer also. Oh yeah, cricket. We can all relate to cricket, right? The best batsman is often the worst bowler. Right? So you don't criticise him. You're a useless bowler. I don't know how you got on this cricket team. Huh? No, he's on the cricket team because he's a wonderful opening batsman. That's what he's there for. You know, every now and again you get an all-rounder who's good at batting and bowling. Right? Anyway, he goes in the middle. Because right? Usually he's not an expert batsman, neither is he a fast bowler that can, you know, blow the head off of the batsman. That's why they have him as a fast bowler, because basically he destroys the opposition. The ball's going so fast you can't even see it. So, you know, each one of them will have their faults, but that's not the reason why they're on the team. They're on the team because they have actually something to bring. So that's, you know, the idea, especially for the Madhyam Adhikari, is we recognise, okay, there are some faults, definitely. But Ardosha Darshi, that's it, Ardosha Darshi, Krishna is described as, he doesn't see the faults. But Gunagrahi, he looks for the good qualities in a person. That's what he's on the team for. Because of his good, because he's surrendered, he's chanting Hare Krishna and he's trying to follow the process of devotional service. And if there is some weakness in that, then we'll try to cover it. We'll put him, you know, we won't make him a bowler. We'll make him a batsman. We'll put him in a place where he'll be strong in that position and try to cover them for the weaknesses. And as the Madhyam Bhaktas, then we have to, you know, operate like that so as to accentuate the good qualities and then work on the bad qualities, but in a positive and in a supportive way. And we have to do that also within ourselves. In fact, actually, you know, we can be lenient on others, but probably hard on ourselves. You know, that's generally the recommendation. And so therefore, something like this enviousness, as mentioned here, has to be dealt with fairly severely within ourselves. And also we have to be careful to check it within others also, if that's appropriate. Just like a parent has to be mindful of a child's behaviour, if we're in a position where we have a responsibility of care and protection of others, then we need to. And that's why Krishna is giving this instruction to his family members, but also to everybody. Don't be envious of others, basically. That's the instruction. And want to take things away from them. Because if you do, especially if it's a brahmana, even if it, and to see the example here, this is a very practical instruction. Look what happened to Maharaj Nriga. He didn't even want to take anything from, it was just a mistake. And he had to take birth as a lizard. Huh? And it was a mistake. It wasn't, you could say that it wasn't his fault. You could say that. And especially he was such a pious person, such a pious. You know, his piety was, knew no limits. And he had such respect for the brahmanas. Interestingly, Maharaj Nriga had such respect for the brahmanas. That's why he would serve them and give in charity so much gold, so many cows. If they weren't married, then he would arrange for a wife and servants. And you know, he had such a desire to serve the brahmanas, yet he made one mistake. So you know, this is, it's quite interesting. This story is such a heavy instruction when you think about it. Really heavy instruction. Be careful of offences to the brahmanas, to the devotees, basically. Very interesting. We have to be very careful. Oh, I think I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, Dr. Prabhu.
What if a sadhu brahman is doing wrong?
That's a good question. Dvija Bandhu. He says, what if a son of a brahmana steals from a brahmana? See, children are always stealing from their parents. They do it in various ways. Well, it says here that you shouldn't take the property of a brahmana, I think. Just because you're the son of the brahmana doesn't mean that you've got special rights to steal from him.
Do you think their family would suffer?
Well, the family's already going to suffer because they obviously don't have much of a brahmana son, do they? He's stealing from his dad, then what else is he going to get up to? And I thought that's one of my favourite stories from Satsarit Maharaj. Was he was talking with one of his disciples, and his disciple's son came into the room and he kicked his dad. he wasn't behaving properly, you know, wasn't fulfilling all of his son's desires as he should. And Satsarit Maharaj said to him, you know, you shouldn't kick the Vaishnavas. And he said, he's not a Vaishnava, he's my dad. So, you know, there's a certain amount of familiarity that comes from, you know, familiarity, being in the family, so to speak. So, but, you know, children generally should be encouraged ultimately by the example of the parents and the affection and so forth. one's parents invest in one, you know, in their children. Huh? And if the child turns out to be a thief and he's still, there has to be a reaction. The families, the parents are already getting their reaction. Bhakti Prabhu.
Just on that point, is that everybody has a fault.
Yeah.
We know throughout the history of this guy, there has been
a couple of faults popped up.
So the devotee is also compassionate without envy.
Yes.
Sometimes the devotee has to make some comment about another devotee's fault.
Yes.
To do rectification.
Yes.
Right. And also because the general society and the people that
yes.
the person's influence.
Yes. Yes. The question is that sometimes a devotee needs some rectification and a comment or a fault has to be pointed out. Well, there are a number of ways of dealing with faults, and one of them is to have a senior person deal with the individual, right? So, you know, there are seniors and juniors and peers, and so if there is a fault in a devotee, then the best way to deal with it is to make sure that the person who's dealing with them is a superior and a respected superior, right? So that then, because, you know, every one of us has these different relationships, so if somebody has a fault, then the best thing to do is to find a devotee who is sympathetic and in a position of authority to that individual, and then seek their advice and assistance. And in that way then deal. Now, so that's one way of dealing with it. Another way, if it's peer-to-peer, and you have a very good relationship with the person, then, you know, you can approach them and talk about it with them. But of course that has to be done in a very supportive and loving and affectionate way. You know, I've got a bit of a problem, do you think you can help me out? What's the problem? Well, it's you. Well, maybe not quite like that, but you know, you can actually ask people. Jabhataka Maharaj told me this. He said that you know, one way you could, if you have to deal with a senior, is, you know, you can ask them, I've got a bit of a problem, I'd like to ask you a question, is it okay if I ask you a question? So, you know, there are ways in which we can deal with, and you know, if it's a junior, then. But then, you know, if it's a junior, okay, a person may be junior to us, but that doesn't mean that we can just automatically go and instruct them. You know, you're a junior, so listen to me, okay? But rather, you know, so the relationship has to be one there has to be a feeling of respect from the junior to the senior. Even if you are a senior, a person may not see you as such. And so therefore your instructing that person may not be effective. Even though, you know, theoretically you're the senior. So it's a subtle thing because, you know, we have juniors and peers and seniors on different levels. You know, you may be the same age as me, you may be of the same learning or intellect as me, but you may not have been a devotee for as long as someone, so for example, right? And so therefore there will be an imbalance. So one has to look for all the different, you know, we generally judge seniority by length of time, amount of experience, amount of learning, which ultimately comes from that, you know, theoretical understanding, different factors, position even, right? Position within the community, so forth. So it's a science in one sense, or an art if you like, but it is subtle and it has many facets. So we have to learn, you know, what position we actually, what role we play and what relationship we have with the devotees, And then based on those relationships, then we can give advice. And so, you know, if it's a very serious situation, then, you know, I've had a few devotees gang up on me on occasion, as you're aware. Makes you very humble, actually. Hopefully, in every circumstance, in every situation, you know, the devotee will just be humble. Yes, actually, it's a fact that I have got bad qualities. Of course, if you deliver the message in an appropriate way, in a very compassionate way, and, you know, sometimes it might need, you know, look, you're a fool, rascal. It requires that sometimes with some devotees, right? That may be required. But, you know, it's tricky ground to tread. Hopefully the devotees will be, you know, take things humbly, but sometimes they don't. They become very hurt and offended. And so therefore, you know, better to try. If it's a very serious situation, then try to get, you know, the senior to deal with the junior and, you know, do it in that way. And understanding, you know, and we don't always get it right. But I think as we mature as a society, then, you know, we'll get it more right more of the time, as we learn and appreciate some of these. Just like if a ditch is, you know, mucking around. You're not mucking around, are you, a ditcher? No, I didn't think you would be. If I see him doing something wrong, what's the best way for me to fix up the situation?
Tell him
spiritually. Well, yeah, I just walk up to him. You rascal. What do you think you're doing? Now, this is how subtle it can be. It's interesting, you know. It may be the best thing for me to do it, because he won't listen to his dad. Right? If his dad tells him to do something, he'll just ignore him. He'll laugh at his mum. So, they might be very happy that I come along and say, hey, Aditya, what are you doing? Behave yourself. But then, you know, I might have a unique relationship with him and his family, whereas somebody else might not be able to do that. Right? And so the best thing is actually going to... In fact, in most cases, if you want to discipline, for example, a child, get the parents to do it. Unless you want World War III on your hands. But in my case, for example, possibly at the temple... Right, and he's doing something wrong, it may be better. I'm the temple president, and so I have a position of responsibility and authority that's respected by almost everybody. Almost. Right. Almost. And he'd be happy that I get on his... I tell him, don't do this. Huh? In fact, it has happened on occasion. You know, I've got to be the bad guy, the bad cop. Right? But because, you know, in one sense, a unique set of relationships, and I can do that, and the parents are happy, I'm happy, everybody's happy because the child is now behaving. But say if somebody else just comes along and you immediately get stuck into him, and then the dad gets upset, hey, Annie Rudy, what do you got this guy doing getting on the kid's case? Straighten him out. Right, so then you have a big problem. I've seen that happen before as well. So, you know, disciplining people is pretty... It's a subtle science. It has all of the different relationships need to be taken into consideration in order to come up with the best result. Huh? So it's a little bit subtle. Mahamaja, yes.
Bhaktadas, from the question of Bhaktadas, one more point.
Yes.
Suppose we find some fault with someone.
Yeah.
Should we not notify others so that we don't make the same mistakes? Notification other people so that that person does not, other person does not make the same mistakes.
Yes.
His name or without him doesn't matter.
Yes, that's another way of disciplining somebody, is to tell someone else off. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of teaching the daughter-in-law by chastising the daughter. Right? They tell me that daughter-in-laws get a pretty rough time in India. Maybe that's because, you know, they're not following this principle of chastising the daughter in order to train the daughter-in-law. I think, you know, usually it's the daughter-in-law who's just getting chastised, but straight up, you know, pow, straight up. But yeah, there are ways of encouraging and disciplining. Now, hopefully we don't have to do this sort of thing too much. Right? Ideally, we don't have to, especially if we can, work in a more supportive kind of a way. That requires a bit of finesse. And it also means that we have to be aware of ourselves. It's very interesting how Krishna consciousness is self-realization. And we have to check our own motivations, our own laziness, even our own